Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma for me, and the big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. My blood pressure was out of control, my sugar was out of control, waste of time. So I went an alternative route. I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR with very good results. Now, these products, accompanied with self-control of your diet and plenty of exercise, which is the key, well, my blood pressure is down in the normal range, my weight is way down, which brings my blood sugar level way down. And all in all, I feel pretty doggone good. So, if you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Tell Patrick what's going on with your health, and he can help you out. Thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show's word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and today is show number 463. We're going to be doing the letter of Paul to the Philippians, to the assembly at Philippi. I have discovered that in reading these letters, they are meant to be read continuously without a break. When I am finished with the chapter, I will then give the notes and the chapter numbers and stuff. I'll go verse by verse then. But once I get started, I have to read the whole thing without stopping for the entire chapter. The way they are written necessitates that. So let's get into it. Chapter 1, verse 1 of the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Shaul and Timotheus, servants of Yeshua Messiah, to all the set-apart ones in Messiah Yeshua who are in Philippi, with the overseers and attendants, favor to you and peace from Elohim our Father and the Master Yeshua Messiah. I thank my Elohim in all my remembrance of you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy for your fellowship in the good news from the first day until now, being persuaded of this, that he who has begun a good work in you shall perfect it until the day of Yeshua Messiah. It is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, all of you being sharers of the favor with me, both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the good news. For Elohim is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Yeshua Messiah. And this I pray, that your love might extend more and more in knowledge and all discernment, for you to examine the matters that differ in order to be sincere and not stumbling until the day of Messiah, being filled with the fruit of righteousness through Yeshua Messiah to the esteem and praise of Elohim. And I wish you to know, brothers, that what has befallen me has turned out for the advancement of the good news, so that it has become known to all the palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Messiah. And most of the brothers, trusting in the Master because of my chains, are much more bold to fearlessly speak the word. Some indeed proclaim Messiah even from envy and strife, but some also out of pleasure. The former announce Messiah from selfish ambition, not sincerely, thinking to add distress to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the good news. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Messiah is announced. And in this I rejoice, in fact I shall rejoice. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Yeshua Messiah, according to my intense longing and anticipation, that I shall not be ashamed at all, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Messiah shall be made great in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to live is Messiah, and to die is gain. And if to live in the flesh is to me a fruit of work, then what shall I choose? I do not know. For I am pressed down by the two, having a desire to depart and be with Messiah, which is much better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. And being persuaded of this, I know that I shall stay and continue with you all for your progress and joy of belief, so that your boasting might overflow in Yeshua Messiah on account of me through my coming to you again. Only behave yourselves worthily of the good news of Messiah, in order that whether I come and see you or am absent, I hear about you, that you stand fast in one spirit with one being, striving together for the belief of the good news, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose, which to them truly is a proof of destruction, but to you of deliverance, and that from Elohim, because to you it has been given as a favor on behalf of Messiah, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same struggle which you saw in me and now here to be in me. And that ends chapter 1. Okay, I'm going to go back over chapter 1 and give a blow-by-blow thing on the verses, but I had to read it like that in order to get the flavor of what he's saying correct, without breaking it up by giving verse numbers all the time. Verse 1 of chapter 1, you can reference the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 12. That's Acts 16, 12, where he's saying that they are servants of Yeshua Messiah to the set apart ones. Okay. Verse 6. You can reference the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 48. That's Matthew 5, 48. And you go down to verse 11. Now, verse 11 has a lot of notes, okay? Verse 11. You can reference Matthew, chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, Matthew 3, 8 through 10, the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 22, and chapter 14, verse 17. That's Romans 6, 22, and 14, 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. That's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. Ephesians 5, 9. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. That's Galatians 5, 22. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians 1, 10. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Chapter 12, 11 for Hebrews. And James, that's Yaakov, okay. Chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 3, 18. Verse 13. You can reference Acts chapter 28, verse 30. That's Acts 28, 30. It says, so that it has become known to all the palace guard. He was in prison. And even the guards respected him. They all knew him. He was highly respected by all because of the way he conducted himself. He also says here that some are proclaiming Messiah in order to cause disruption. They're jealous. They want notoriety. They're using the proclamation of Messiah for their own gain. They're not sincere. Selfish ambition. And verse 16 is how he describes it. And verse 17, the ones that are really teaching and preaching Messiah are out of love. Okay? We see that today too. We see that today. We see people preaching gospel to accumulate wealth and possessions and esteem in the community. And they sort of water it down a lot so they don't offend anybody and everybody just loves them because they're just, they just love everybody. Well, we see that today. And then you get to people that are really teaching what the Word says, all of it. And they're not received all that well. they get hammered. They get called names. And when they teach the truth, that Yeshua taught, the same kind of people hated Yeshua for teaching it as hate him today. It rocks their little boat. They can't give the politically correct claptrap as gospel. So they try to change the message. And they get exposed after a while. And a lot of people are walking away from mainstream churches because they're preaching a different gospel than what Yeshua said, and it doesn't ring true, and it's becoming obvious to those that really study the word. Okay, verse 19 of chapter 1, you can reference the book of Job, chapter 13, verse 16. Job 13, 16. He says in verse 21, for to me to live is Messiah. In other words, he has nothing in this world that's important except his work, teaching and preaching about Messiah. And then in the rest of that verse it says, and to die is gain. Because if he died, he would be with Messiah. Okay? That's better than living in agony in this world. Everybody's going to check out of these bodies sooner or later. So he would consider it a blessing because he was suffering at that point. He was losing his vision. He had a lot of aches and pains, and he was being persecuted. Well, I mean, this world, if you really believe and you really have knowledge and you really have the Holy Spirit, this world is not a really great place, okay? We have to endure. We have to endure to the very end. And in verse 30 of chapter 1, you can reference Acts chapter 16, verses 19 through 40. That's Acts 16, 19 through 40. You know, having the same struggle which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. They're getting hammered now too, because they're following Yeshua Messiah, and the world hates that. So that assembly is having problems from the worldly ones. Same as we do today. If you teach or preach or proclaim the real gospel, the world hates you and is going to hammer on you. This is not a fun thing. They really dislike us and want to do us harm. It's getting to that point. That ends chapter 1. Let's get into chapter 2 here. I'll read the whole thing, and then I'll go back through it. Let me get a little drink of coffee here. Wet that whistle a little bit. Verse 1 of chapter 2 of the letter to the Philippians. If then there is any encouragement in Messiah, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, one in being and in purpose, or and of purpose, either way, doing none at all through selfishness or self-conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each one should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. For let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua, who, being in the form of Elohim, did not regard equality with Elohim a matter to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and came to be in the likeness of men, or Adam, okay? And having been found in fashion as an Adam, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, death even of a stake. That's what they would call the cross, okay? It was a stake. Elohim, therefore, has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Remember that, under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Yeshua, Messiah, is Master to the esteem of Elohim the Father. So that, my beloved, as you always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much rather in my absence, work out your own deliverance with fear and trembling. For it is Elohim who is working in you both to desire and to work for his good pleasure. Do all without grumblings and disputings, in order that you be blameless and faultless, children of Elohim without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding on to the word of life for a boast to me in the day of Messiah, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. In fact, even if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the offering and service of your belief, I am glad and rejoice with you all. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Master Yeshua to send Timotheos to you shortly, so that I too am encouraged by news from you. For I have no one of the same mind who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For all seek their own, not those of Messiah Yeshua. But you know he has proven himself that as a son with his father he served with me for the good news. So I expect to send him as soon as I see how it goes with me. And I trust in the Master that I myself shall also come shortly. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your emissary and servant to my need, since he was longing for you all and being troubled because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, near to death, but Elohim had compassion on him, and not only on him, but on me as well, lest I should have sadness upon sadness. Therefore I sent him more eagerly, so that on seeing him again you might rejoice, and I be less sad. Receive him, therefore, in the Master with all joy, and hold such as he is in as he in esteem. Yeah, hold such as he in esteem. Because for the work of Messiah, he was near death, risking his life to fill up what was lacking in your service toward me. So, anyone that comes to them in the name of Yeshua sent by Paul, they should have respect and hold an esteem towards. That's what he said in that passage. Now let's go back through chapter 2. It's ended. He's telling them in verse 2 to make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, one in being and of purpose. In other words, the congregation, the assembly, should be united, not bickering. Okay? In verse 6 and 7, when Yeshua was here, he didn't try to present himself as equal to Elohim. He tried to be a servant to people, and he emptied himself because he was divine. He came down from the heavens, from the Father, taking the form of a servant and came to be in the likeness of man. That's verse 7. Yeah, he appeared here as a man, an Adam, so he could suffer and die for our redemption. Verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient under death, death even of a stake. You're talking to a divine being that could have just zapped everybody. But he didn't do that. Because Yahweh loves his children, the children of Israel, his chosen. And he wanted us to be redeemed. He didn't want us all to perish in sins. So that's a biggie. Verses 10 and 11. Reference Isaiah 45, verse 23. Every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Isaiah 45, verse 23. And the fear in verse 12, the fear and trembling. Work out your deliverance with fear and trembling. You can reference Psalm 2, verse 11. Psalm 2, verse 11. Now he's talking in verse 15 about a crooked and perverse generation. That's Deuteronomy 32, verse 5. And generation here could be translated a crooked and perverse race. Okay, genea, race. The same one that persecutes us today. He's telling them that he's going to try to come to them. But he sent this brother, and Epaphroditus. He wasn't really in the best of health, but he really wanted to go and help serve this assembly. And Yahweh healed him and made him stronger and made him able to go and serve. And he is to be held in esteem because of his service to Yahweh and because he does nothing but live for Messiah like Paul does. And for the work of Messiah, he was near death, risking his life to fill up what was lacking in your service toward me. In other words, they were helping Paul out The Philippians at Philippi evidently were a really good assembly. So, man. This next chapter, chapter 3, is going to get down to the nitty-gritty in some spots. I need to read the whole thing through, and then I'm going to give you a lot of insight on some stuff. Listen to this carefully, and I'll go back through it. I guarantee you. And we're going to need to do that with chapter 3. Verse 1 of chapter 3. For the rest, my brothers, rejoice in Yahweh. To write the same to you is truly no trouble to me, and for you it is safe. Look out for dogs. Look out for the evil workers. Look out for the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who are serving Elohim in the Spirit and boasting in Messiah Yeshua and do not trust in the flesh, though I too might have trust in the flesh. If anyone else thinks to trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Binyamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, according to Torah, a Pharisee, according to ardor, persecuting the assembly according to the righteousness that is in the law, having become blameless. But what might have been a gain to me, I have counted as a loss because of Messiah. What is more, I even count all to be lost because of the excellence of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua, my master, for whom I have suffered the loss of all, and count them as refuge in order to gain Messiah and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through belief in Messiah, the righteousness which is from Elohim on the basis of belief, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if somehow I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already received or already been perfected, but I press on to lay hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua has also laid hold of me. Brothers, I do not count myself to have laid hold of it yet, but only this, forgetting what is behind and reaching out for what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of Elohim in Messiah Yeshua. As many then as are perfect should have this mind. And if you think differently in any respect, Elohim shall also reveal this to you. But to what we have attained, walk by the same rule, be of the same mind. Become joint imitators of me, brothers, and look at those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now say to you, even weeping, walk as enemies of the stake of Messiah. Their end is destruction, their mighty one is their stomach, and their esteem is in their shame. They mind the earthly. For our citizenship is in the heavens, is in the heavens, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Master Yeshua Messiah, who shall change our lowly body to be conformed to his esteemed body according to the working by which he is able even to bring all under his control. Now that ends chapter 3 of Philippians. And boy, do I have a bunch to do here as far as explanations. Pardon me for just a second. There we go. It's very cold outside here today, and I have to have the heat running, which dries the air out in the apartment, and it makes me sneeze every once in a while. Verse 2 of chapter 3. Now we know that we have had people creep into congregations of Israelites, and it says in chapter 3, verse 2, look out for dogs, look out for the evil workers, and look out for the mutilation. Okay. Those who have been circumcised and boast on the circumcision falsely that are not of Israel, they just say, look, I'm circumcised. I'm an Israelite. Well, they're not. Those are of the synagogue of Satan that try to imitate Israel. Dogs, that's derogatory term for non-Israelites. They have to look out for them because they have bred with all the different races and they try to appear as we are. They are not. Look out for the evil workers. Those are people that get in congregations and just tear them apart, cause all kinds of strife and dissension. In verse 3, he says, for we are the circumcision, that circumcision of the Spirit, okay, who are serving Elohim in the Spirit, and boasting in Messiah Yeshua, and do not trust in the flesh. Okay? A lot of these Israelites in foreign lands that were of the dispersion had never been circumcised. And he speaks with authority because in verse 4 and 5 it says, though I too might have trust in the flesh. In other words, he was a real Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. He had been circumcised. He had been a Pharisee. He studied and did all that stuff. Okay. It said, if anyone else thinks to trust in the flesh, I more. In other words, look, who's more an Israelite and a Pharisee than I was? And it meant nothing, basically, because without Yeshua, all that observance of ritual means nothing. Well, verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day. He was obedient. His parents were obedient. They had him circumcised on the eighth day. Of the race of Israel, very clear. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, according to Torah, a Pharisee. He was a stickler about the Torah. All right, verse 5, reference Romans chapter 11, verse 1. Romans 11, 1. And Acts chapter 23, verse 6, and chapter 26, verse 5. That's Acts 23:6 and 26:5. Verse 6. According to ardor, persecuting the assembly. That's when he was a Pharisee. Okay. According to righteousness that is in the law, having become blameless. He had followed the law, but was spiritually dead. He didn't have Yeshua Messiah until Yeshua showed himself to him and converted him. Verse 6. Reference Acts chapter 8, verse 3. That's Acts 8, 3. Chapter 22, verse 4. That's 22, 4. And chapter 26, verses 9 through 11. Chapter 26, verses 9 through 11. Verse 7, he explains it. But what might have been a gain to me, I have counted as loss because of Messiah. All that Phariseeism and all that Torah falling and all the persecution of the assembly, he counts as a loss. It was a gain if he would have been well thought of. In the Edomite assembly, they would have, oh, Paul is such a Pharisee, he's so righteous. He would have had praise from men. He counted that as a loss. Because praise of men means nothing. Verse 8 explains it. What is more, I even count all to be lost because of the excellence of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua my Master, for whom I have suffered the loss of all and count them as refuge in order to gain Messiah. He walked away from his Phariseeism and his status as a Pharisee in the main assembly in Jerusalem. The righteousness that he has now is explained in verse 9 on the basis of belief, and the righteousness is from Elohim. He abandoned his worldly life and followed Yeshua. It says, to know him and the power of his resurrection, verse 10, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. He's going to follow, even unto death, the Messiah. If somehow I might attain to the resurrection from the dead, that's 11. Because that covenant with Yeshua Messiah is what brings you up. You don't suffer the second death. You may die the first one. But what is that? Everybody does that. Verse 12, he says, not that I have already received or already been perfected. In other words, he's continuing to work to be more and more in line with what Messiah taught. He just has to follow him. He can't do anything else. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of Elohim in Messiah Yeshua. He wants to follow the Messiah. That's the ultimate for us, okay? Verse 17, of chapter 3, reference 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, and chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 4, 16, and 11, 1. And he warns in 18, "For many of whom I have often told you, and now say to you, even weeping, walk as enemies of the stake of Messiah. They walk contrary to the teachings of the Messiah." And verse 19 gives their fate. "Their end is destruction. Their mighty one is their stomach, and their esteem is in their shame. They mind the earthly. They live for the world. They're going to suffer the fate of the world. They're stuff worshipers. They want to make a lot of money, stuff their face, eat a lot of good food. They just don't get it." And verse 21 tells it all. "Who shall change our lowly body to be conformed to his esteemed body?" We will get a new temple to live in. He will change our lowly body. And you can reference 4 Maccabees chapter 9, verse 22. 4 Maccabees 9, 22 for verse 21. Now we're going into chapter 4 here. "So then, my brothers, beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Master, beloved. I appeal to Euodia and I appeal to Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Master. And I also ask you, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the good news, with Clemens only, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in Yahweh always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Master is near. Do not worry at all, but in every matter, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Elohim. And the peace of Elohim, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua. For the rest, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is righteous, whatever is clean, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any uprightness and if there is any praise, think on these. And what you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, practice these, and the Elohim of peace shall be with you. And I rejoiced in Yahweh greatly that now at last your concern for me has revived again, though you were concerned but had no chance. Not that I speak concerning need, for I have learned to be content in whatever state I am. I know what it is to be humbled, and I know what it is to have in excess. In any and every situation I have learned both to be filled and to be hungry, both to have in excess and to be in need. I have strength to do all through Messiah who empowers me. Yet you did well in sharing in my pressure. And you know too, Philippians, that in the beginning of the good news, when I went out from Macedonia, no assembly shared with me concerning giving and receiving except you only. Because even in Thessalonica, you sent to my need once and twice. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that is multiplying to your account. Indeed, I have all and more than enough, and I have been filled, having received from Epaphroditus what you sent, a sweet-smelling fragrance, an acceptable offering, well-pleasing to Elohim. And my Elohim shall fill all your need according to his riches in esteem by Messiah Yeshua. And to our Elohim and Father be esteemed forever and ever. Amen. Greet every set apart one in Messiah Yeshua. The brothers with me greet you. All the set apart ones greet you, but most of all those of Caesar's household. The favor of our Master Yeshua Messiah be with you all. Amen. That ends chapter 4. It's sort of a goodbye passage. He mentions a few people and wants them to be of the same mind and work together. And then we get down to where he says, I'm not asking for gifts. I have everything that I need. I've learned to be full of food and to be hungry. All right. Verse 13. I have strength to do all through Messiah who empowers me. Now for verse 13. Reference the book of John, chapter 15, verse 5. That's John 15, 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Chapter 3, 5 and 6. And chapter 12, verse 9. Chapter 12, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. Philippians 2:13. Hebrews chapter 13 verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13:20 and 21. And 1 John chapter 4 verse 4. Chapter 4 verse 4. Chapter 4 verses 15 and 16. Reference 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 9. That's 2 Corinthians 11 verse 9. For verses 15 and 16, and for 16 alone, reference Acts chapter 17, verse 1. Acts 17, verse 1. Verse 18, where he's speaking of a sweet-smelling fragrance, that is Exodus chapter 29, verse 18. Exodus 29, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. And Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2. Ephesians 5, 2. Now he's in Caesar's household. Verse 22. All the set apart ones greet you, but most of all those of Caesar's household. He's in Rome. There are set apart Israelites in Rome, even in Caesar's household. Because Paul is supposed to be under arrest, but he's walking around and he's teaching and preaching. He's proclaiming Messiah, waking people up, making converts, like we're trying to do today. You pray without ceasing and you talk of the word. And you don't have to be a preacher to be of service. Anybody can witness. If you have Yeshua in your life, you should share that with whoever you can, even if you're going to be rejected or hated because of it. The time is getting short. I had to have a little coffee. And the more we can witness, the more people see the light of Yeshua in us, the better off the world will be, because we are in the business. Those of us who are in the remnant, we need to be about the business of gathering more to the remnant. The world is hammering on us. The world is evil. The world hates us. The world hated Yeshua. This is foretold. This is expected. This covenant with Yeshua comes with a price these days. We have to occupy until he returns, even unto death. If we are ashamed and we won't speak of him, he will be ashamed of us before the Father and will not proclaim us. Because we believe, it says in scriptures quite clearly, faith without work is dead. The works don't get you into heaven, but your faith, if you don't exercise that faith, is a dead faith, isn't it? It's worthless. It doesn't accomplish anything. And no matter whether you immediately gain a whole big bunch of converts, the word of Yahweh never goes out in vain. It never, ever goes out in vain. It may rest in somebody for a while, and it'll eat on them. And they'll think on it, and they'll think on it, and they'll ask questions, and then all of a sudden, boom. They come on over into the remnant. That's a victory. Well, that ends this show. The next show is going to be on Colossians. That will be number 464. It's always a pleasure. I love these readings. I love the letters of Paul. It's a joy and a pleasure. Catch you on the next show. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.